Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 132, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Within thy temple's sacred courts, and with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 132.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, and thereof chapter 8. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of this earth, wilt thou indeed help our infirmities? For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But thou dost testify thyself by the mouth of thy servant of old, inspired by thy own Spirit, that the Spirit itself make intercession for his church, even with groanings that cannot be uttered. How thy dear Son did groan when he was here upon this earth, under the sufferings of the body, under the sufferings of the soul, that he did cry unto thee when his spirit was overwhelmed. O Lord, wilt thou grant that also those that do groan here below in the midst of thy church and may receive an answer from above, as even from him who is full of compassion, or that thou thyself would groan on their behalf, and that thou may hear them from heaven, thy dwelling place. We have heard of those that do groan, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of the body, waiting for that day of the resurrection of the body, waiting for that day of that when that glorious hope shall be fulfilled. But how many are now able so to groan because that we lack that assurance for our own soul, that He is mine and I am His. And so there are those that do groan yet under all the doubts and under all the fears, under all the apprehensions and all the anxieties, under the afflictions, under tribulations. Oh, that Thou may look upon them in Thy own mercy, for they are Thy own people. For Thou hast said, through much tribulation, you must enter into the kingdom of God, but it is not in their expectation, but it must be experienced to bring us low, because we are those that do rise high. Oh, to bring us to Thy footstool, because we are those that do have so much of that flesh in us, that does seek after the things of the flesh, the things that are carnal, and that Thou must make us to groan over this world, in order that we may be brought time and again to Thy blessed footstool. O Lord, we have to say in this hour, and then all it is all our own fault, all that we have to complain about, that is all of our own selves. For there is nothing to complain of in Thee, what Thou dost make Thy children to bear. For Thou dost say that it is all for their good. All things they work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to Thy purpose. But oh, then there is a people who cannot see it. Oh, that Thou may open their eyes to give them light. Thou dost say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But that people, they cannot see it, unless Thou will give them light from above, and opening in the mysteries of Thy holy word and truth, a little light upon him who has come to suffer and to die for the sake of his people. A little light upon that covenant that was sworn already in that never begun eternity, and which is upheld by Thee to all eternity. O Thou who art the Alpha, and Thou who art the Omega, and Thou who art the beginning, and Thou who art the ending, and Thou who dost begin in the life of a man, who dost uphold that work, and who will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. O, we beseech Thee, and wilt Thou come and gather with us in this afternoon hour. It is Thy own house of prayer. We gather in Thy name, O Lord. O, could it please Thee then to hear our supplication, to take away all our iniquities and all that which we deserve, that we would not be cast away from Thee, but wilt Thou in all our unworthiness, in all our sin, in all our guilt, in all our corruption, in all our pollution, from the crown of the head to the sole of our feet, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores that cannot be bound up, that cannot be mollified with ointment, that cannot be healed. Oh, that Thou wouldst come Thyself and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Oh, when we do not know the greatness of our misery, wilt Thou open it unto us when we go over this world thinking that we have kept all these things from our youth up. Oh, that thou mayest show to us our own selves, and that thou wilt give us a place of true humility in the dust of self-abasement before thee. Oh, bring us in that place of true poverty, and make us a fit object of thy grace and of thy mercy. Oh, that we may be given eyes in as those who have sinned against thee, for thee and what thou dost say, thou wilt do for those who have transgressed all thy commandments, who have gone away from thee with no intention to return, who have their backs unto thee, and who will not come unto thee. O Lord, wilt thou call us, not only with an outward calling in the midst of thy church, but may it be with that irresistible and most powerful calling of thy most Holy Spirit. Oh, that a man could not resist anymore. But when thou wilt say thus far and no further, and when thou wilt turn him about and bring him upon the ground, oh, to make him crawl on his knees before thee, and to supplicate and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, because I have gone my own way, and I have spent all upon all that thou hast given unto me with riotous living. And now I have brought myself into the pit that I cannot deliver myself out of. And when I deserve that thou shouldest say, it is your own fault. Oh, that thou wouldest say, and be lost forever and forever. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, to open a little of thy mercy in thy dear and thy only begotten and thy beloved Son. Oh, in him thou art so well pleased. And thou hast he has no form or comeliness in our eyes. But when thou wilt open him unto us, then we shall love him too. Oh, then we shall seek him with all our heart. Then we shall come with weeping and with supplications. Do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Oh, that mighty work of thy Holy Spirit amongst young and old together, that we may know it, each one of us, not only how thou leadest thy people in our minds by an education, but oh, may it be that we may experience and be able to recognize it, each and every one. Oh, lead thy people further in the ways of grace. Open more and more how great their sins and miseries are. Oh, that they may need thee more than ever, the closer that they come to having to stand before thy judgment seat, and that thou may lead ever deeper in the blessed mysteries of free and sovereign grace. Oh, that thou may show unto us thy covenant, and wilt thou speak unto our souls, and say unto us, I am thy salvation. And wilt thou remember those that cry, and wilt thou save their souls when death draws nigh. Oh, bless us, Lord. Bless us freely, as thou dost proclaim it in thy holy word. Bless us undeservedly. Bless us for the glory of thy holy name. Oh, magnify thy dear Son, and wilt thou give that more children of Zion and may be born this day, that may forever glorify him who has given himself for them. Oh, remember us each and every one traveling on that way to that great eternity. Oh, that thou may give, that the callings may be sanctified. Remember those that mourn. Oh, that thou wouldst care for them in thy mercy, and wilt thou supply for them from thy grace. Oh, that thou may give unto those that do rule and reign over us also, to be brought upon their knees before thee. Oh, that they may be given so to know that thou art God, and that thy law and thy testimonies may be brought into the places where the laws are made in our country and where the judgment seat is, that the oppressed, that they may receive a relief from thee, and that those that are guilty may be rebuked by thee, and they may come to true repentance and may receive that blessed forgiveness. Lord, remember all those that bring thy word and all those that do help in the way of aiding that word to be brought, the Bible societies, and those that do labor in the midst of thy kingdom wherever that it is found, over the length and breadth of this whole world. Oh, increase the number, and that we may not be found on the outside on that great day of days, having known the truth and have not walked therein. Wilt thou look upon us in this hour, help us to bring thy word. Oh, give us strength for this hour to bring it. Oh, give us simplicity in the difficulty of the subject that is brought. Oh, give a blessed interest in it, in the hearts of both young and old together, and that thou may give thy spirit, which alone can bring it in our hard and careless hearts. Oh, awaken us, Lord, for the first time or by renewal. Do it, Lord, undeservedly. Glorify thyself. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. The last collection today is for the Student Support Fund, Psalter 164, as stanzas 1, 2, and 3. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Romans chapter 8, and thereof the verses 38 and 39. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far, the words of our text. Paul's persuasion of the love of God in Christ Jesus. First, the blessedness of this persuasion. Second, the existence of this persuasion. And last, the manner of this persuasion. Paul's persuasion of the love of God in Christ Jesus, first the blessedness, second the existence, and third the manner of this persuasion. And Isaac took her and brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac, he was comforted, we read, after his mother's death. That is, that marriage that we have been speaking about. What comfort now does Rebecca have after her marriage that she did not have before her marriage? You say after that marriage, then she has a certain assurance. She has an assurance of the love of Isaac. That is the significance. That is the importance of marriage. That is a covenant. That is a legal document that is signed by an authority, that is a marriage, an official public thing that is giving assurance. And what is the consequence of the sealing of the making of this oath? That is comfort. That is rest. Because the sealing of that oath that brings an assurance. What is Rebecca assured of? She is assured by Isaac of his love. She is not assured that she will have a life with no affliction, with no trials, with no tribulations, with no troubles. But Isaac, what does he say unto her? He says that whatever now happens, then I will give to you my love, that I will stand with you. And that love that shall not only lay in my heart, but that love that will also be expressed by me, that will come forth in my deeds. And now what does Paul say? He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is now how we understand that the Lord, He is giving to us the picture of marriage. The picture of marriage in order to show unto His church something that is so beautiful. Because there is a blessed resemblance between that natural marriage and that spiritual marriage. The assurance that is in that natural marriage that is experienced by us. And that is experienced by us to be a very, very blessed thing. That is now something young people, Satan is trying to destroy. He says, people, they do not have to get married. It would be the same thing if everyone, they just lived together. Do you feel what Satan is trying to do? Then he strips away from that marriage something that is so very important. He takes away from that blessed assurance. He takes away from that blessed rest, that blessed peace that is lying in that unbreakable covenant. And now the Lord gives us a picture of that blessed rest and that blessed peace that is to be obtained in the knowledge of that union with His only begotten Son. Do you desire that? That's something that draws your heart. That you say, oh, if I also could know something of such an assurance of that union with Him. Why do you desire that? The Lord Jesus, He spoke, we can read in the Bible, about hypocrites. And they would stand in the temple, they would stand on the corner of the streets, and there they would make, we read, long prayers. Did that for a reason. What was their reason? Well, He says it was to be seen of men. And the Lord Jesus says, they have their reward. Thus they have the praise of men. And now there have been in the history of the church, always those, the church has never lacked them, always those who have a desire to be able to say that they have come just a step further, that they have experienced just a step more than everyone else. What is it? It is a spiritual pride. That man, he lifts himself up with the blessings of the Lord. Oh, let it not be, because such people, they have their reward. It is a reward that will die with them. It is a reward that will die with the multitude. But now there are others. They say, oh, that I could know. Oh, that I could experience something of that blessed union. And that I may know the assurance of that union. For the blessedness of that assurance. For the peace and for the comfort that it does contain. What does Peter say? He says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, he says, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Thus, if a guilty, if an unworthy, if a corrupt man experiences something, the smallest part, Peter says, just tastes it. When he will taste something, in his unworthiness of the grace of God, the gift of God to those who do not deserve it, if he will just taste this once, oh, then he will desire to grow in it. He will desire to be established in it. That is according to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is also commanding the church of God that they will seek this blessing, that they may be established in it. Peter, he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Paul, he says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Thus it is not humility to deny assurance. It is not humility to deny the desire that we may be assured. Because if we have ever tasted of that grace, and then certainly we have desired to be established in it. And if we have never desired that establishment, then we have to say that certainly we have never tasted of that grace. On the other hand, we know that God's children, they also can be very slothful. But congregation, grace is not to the glory of a man. Grace that is to the glory of the Lord. Grace that is experienced by a man, how? It is experienced in his unworthiness. It is experienced in his guilt. It is experienced as one who deserves to be cast away from the Lord. And when the Lord will give unto his people this grace, and when he will establish that grace, then you can believe that that people will only be brought lower in their own estimation before the Lord. Jacob. We read of Jacob at Peniel, and the Lord granted him this blessing. But when the Lord granted him this blessing, do you know what we read? Then the Lord, he also touched the hollow of his thigh. So Jacob, he had the rest of his life to go limping along. A man, he has to bow. He has to bow in order to receive that grace of God. That is why, children, John Bunyan, in that Pilgrim's Progress, then he pictures that entrance into Christ. He pictures that as a wicked gate. That's a very, very small gate. That is a gate you cannot go through there standing up. That is a gate you have to bow. You have to go so low. That is a gate that is so narrow that you cannot bring anything along with. And then you can be sure that the higher that the steps of grace that a man is led into, the lower that a man will be made to bow in this world. Paul, you can read that in the chapter that was before in Romans 7. That was a man who was justified by the Lord. And what could he only say of himself within that justification? Then he could only say of himself, oh, wretched man that I am. But what is now the hope of that people? What is now the glory of that people? What is now the comfort of that people? Oh, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yet there are people, they actually say that that blessed comfort, that does not even exist. Thus we say in our second thought, the existence of that comfort, because the Roman Catholic Church, they deny the existence of that full assurance of faith. or what we call the assurance of hope, or the assurance of grace and salvation. That's the assurance of the state of a man. They say that, yes, some of the saints, some of those that have been extremely blessed by the Lord, they are able to receive it. Otherwise, it does not belong to that church of God. What do they desire to do? Well, they desire to keep that church in question. Always in question, because they will make every one of that people dependent on that priesthood. And so they will continue with their lies. And what happens when we fight against error? Because who had to fight against that error, children? Say the reformers. That's right. What happens when we fight against error? You say, that is wrong. And then we have sometimes a tendency that we go a little bit too far in the other direction. That is now what happened at that time of the early part of the Reformation. Because then they had to fight against Rome, because Rome said that full assurance of faith, no, that is something that cannot be received by people. And then the reformers said, oh, absolutely it can. Absolutely, that belongs to the church of God. Then, in that struggle against that enemy, then they even went so far as to say that that full assurance that actually belongs to faith itself, that actually is part of the very definition of faith itself. That is, that full assurance of faith belongs to the very essence of faith. It belongs to its definition. You can even read those kinds of statements in Calvin. But those statements, they also have their consequences. Because if that is so, and that full assurance that I am in the state of grace, if that belongs to the definition of faith itself, what does that mean? That means when I lack that full assurance, then I lack faith itself. Then no one can be included in that church of God unless he has come to the highest steps of grace. Did Calvin believe that? No, he did not. No, he did not. And thus you can see how difficult that was for the reformers. We can read things like that in Luther too. It was very difficult for those reformers, especially in that early part. But there are even different interpretations of our own Heidelberg Catechism. Because Ursinus and Olivianus, when they wrote the Catechism, that was also during that Reformation, then they have defined what faith is. Do you know what Lord's Day we read that in, young people? Read that in Lord's Day 7. They give to us a definition of faith. And in that definition, you can read the words, an assured confidence. An assured confidence makes it very difficult. Why? Because that sounds as if, and some have interpreted that and said that they have stood then right upon the foundation of those early reformers, that they believed that full assurance of faith belonged to its definition, belonged to its essence. But you cannot prove that. Because there is an assured confidence in refuge-taking faith already. And Olivianus and Ursinus make a clear distinction in the Catechism between Lord's Day 7 and Lord's Day 23. You may read it when you come home, which is speaking in Lord's Day 23 about that full assurance of faith. Today, it is generally accepted that full assurance of faith that does not belong to the definition of faith. It does not belong to the very essence of faith, but that those are two distinct matters. That there is such a thing as the full assurance of faith against the Roman Catholic Church, we can find that in the Bible. Because we find testimonies of that in the Bible. Because Job, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. The Apostle Paul, he says, I know in whom I have believed. David, he says, the Lord is my children, shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He knew that. And his son, Solomon, he says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. These are all statements which are speaking about the knowledge of that marriage, the knowledge of that full assurance of faith. Thus, we know from the Bible that that full assurance of faith certainly exists. That there is a distinction between the assurance of faith, or which is in faith, that refuge-taking faith, a distinction between refuge-taking faith and that full assurance of faith, that those are two distinct matters. We also find that in the Bible. So how can we find that? Well, the Lord Jesus, he has commanded that his children, they will seek that full assurance. But he did not say to them, you are without faith altogether. Only that you have that faith that is so small. And that you ought to seek to be well grounded. That you ought to seek to be well founded. We can see it also in the desires of that church. As we have mentioned of David. The prayers in that church, they felt that they lacked. David, he says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Thus he desired that he may be certain of that faith. We read that John, he writes, these things have I written unto you which believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I write them to you which believe. I write them to you, to the faithful, in order that you may receive something else, a knowledge, a further knowledge, that you have eternal life. So he makes a distinction between refuge-taking faith and that full assurance of faith. Certainly, there was a difference in the life of Jacob between Bethel and Peniel. Certainly, there was a difference in the life of the disciples concerning assurance before the resurrection of Christ and after the resurrection of Christ. Thus we see a distinction over and over again. To the Romans, Paul says, he says, I desire to impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. Not that they had no faith, but that they may be established in the faith. And that is now that distinction that John Bunyan, he is also portraying in his Pilgrim's Progress, when he makes a distinction between the gate, the wicked gate, and the cross. Because when Christian is brought through that wicked gate by the revelation of Christ, then we read Bunyan says, he says, I rejoice and tremble. Now read what he says. When he comes unto that cross, then we find that the trembling, that is all gone. Then there is a rejoicing. Is there not good reason that that trembling faith, that true faith, which trembles and which yet doubts and fears in their anxieties, is there not good reason that that people, that they are desiring to be led further, that they may be established in the faith, lest they will want to know how that a man is established in the faith. But we are going to sing first. 420, the fifth stanza. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. God cares for us, our God is He. Who would not fear His majesty in earth as well as heaven? And what follows in the fifth stanza of Psalter 420. Therefore I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Blessed persuasion. What a blessed union. What a blessed persuasion of that blessed union. Never to be separated anymore from His love. There will be those who desire to know it. There will be those who desire to know how they may come into such a blessed knowledge, that full assurance of faith. How does a man receive that? It is a gift of God, indeed. But as with all the other gifts of God, the Lord, He is giving those gifts unto those indeed whom He chooses. And yet the Lord, He is giving those gifts also unto the diligent. Because there are means. There are means that are to be used to obtain the first, but also those latter things. This special gift that comes in the first place by way of reflection. Because that is now what the apostle, he is doing. He is reflecting. You can read that in the chapter before. Do you do that too? Do you reflect? Because when that church of God that is exhorted by the Lord to examine themselves, then they need something to examine themselves by. And so we can read in the Word of God that the apostle speaks about the fruits of the Spirit being love and joy and peace and meekness and long-suffering and so on. Faith. Oh, a man, he cannot completely miss those fruits of the Spirit and have his conscience to testify that he possesses them. That is impossible. That something of those fruits that has to be possessed. Thus the Apostle John, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because... You want to know that, children? Because we love the brethren. They're not something. That is now a mark. That is now a fruit by which he says you may now examine yourself because we love the brethren. Do you love God's people, children, young people? Do you love God's people? Can you tell me someone in the Bible? Oh, you say, Ruth, that is right. Thy people, my people. Thy God, my God, love the brethren. Lydia, the Lord opened her heart. Come into my house. Love the brethren. Oh, and so then we can speak about that joy of faith in believing, the fruits of faith, what they contain, the peace, and so on. John, he writes elsewhere, hereby do we know that we love, that we know him, he says, if we keep his commandments. Do you keep his commandments? Read in the Bible about a man, he said, Lord, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What do we do with that mark? Could the Apostle Paul say that? I have kept all these things from my youth up. He could not say that. Read Romans 7. He reflects. He examines himself. And what does he find within himself? He says, I find in me a law. It is not an exception. It is the rule. It is what is always happening. I find in me a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That is now what comes up in the life of that people when they have to examine themselves for the fruits of the Spirit. No, not that we say that those fruits can be missing. No, there are things in the life of the people. They say, I cannot deny it. But, always but. What is that but? They say, there is so much wrong. There is so much wrong. Is that just wrong in the past that I have now changed and now I do good? Only that were so. It is not only what is past. Because I persecuted the church of God. But Paul, when he examines himself, he finds that that law, that is still present. That is now what comes up in that self-examination. Thus there are those, they begin to examine themselves and they say, there is a fruit, and there is a fruit, and I see that one and that one. They climb higher and higher. Now, I'm a child of God. Is that the way it goes, young people? Is that the way it goes? Don't find it in the Bible. No. The longer that a person lives, you know what our catechism says? We need to know what our sins and miseries are, right? But it has those words. How great my sins and miseries are. And the longer that people live, the more that they have to experience to their sorrow in their life what their sins and their miseries are. How great that they are. How low does that go? How low did that go with the Apostle Paul? Read that in Romans 7. He says, wretched man that I am. Wretched man. That is the end of his examination of himself. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It is impossible. Because from my side it is corruption. It is carnality. It is worldliness. It is sin. You understand that some, they are led further into that knowledge than others are. That it is not all the same and the same extent to which the Lord, He is leading His people. And that there are some that the Lord, He is leading so far as to consider what is the real issue at stake. That is, what is the true character of the judge? We say, as a manner of speaking, that the Lord, He brings them. He brings them by His Spirit into the court. That they have to stand there before the judge. The Lord, that is not then an extraordinary revelation outside of the Word of God, no. But it is light. Light into the truth of the Word of God. Who the judge is. And they have to stand, as it were, before that bar of justice. And then they have to give an answer to the Lord. And they find they cannot give an answer to the Lord. Not to a thousand questions. And when they themselves have to go lost, then that surety he is appearing. Then that surety is speaking. And not only that surety, but the judge. That the judge, he is speaking in the conscience of the people. That they would be delivered from going down into that pit because he has found a ransom. Thus there are those that may be led further into the issues which are truly at stake. And that they may hear that legal pronouncement from the judge. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And so they may learn to know their own justification before God by that legal pronouncement. Thus, reflection, that is a means that is bringing a soul into more direct acts of faith. Read it in Romans 7 and Romans 8. Because when Paul, he reflects and he looks upon himself and he comes completely to that end and he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then suddenly he is crying out. Then he sees that surety. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then that surety is appearing for him. And then we can read that he is crying out. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. That is now the justification of that people. What are the fruits of that? Relief. Can be sure, when a man, he will be standing before his judge in this world, and he will have to confess to that judge that he has done wrong, that he has done evil, that he deserves to be punished, and that judge, he will say to him, he says, I acquit you. You may now go free. What do you think? Or will that man not be relieved? And thus, we read it also in Bunyan. What do we read? When that Christian, he is coming to that cross. He had been through that gate. He rejoiced in the revelation of that mediator. But he yet trembled. Why? Because that burden was still on his back. That burden of sin. That today man says that is all gone immediately. No. The Lord is free, sure. The Lord is free. But that is not the normal way. I rejoice and tremble. Can you remove that burden from me? It will fall off. And when the Lord will take it away. And when he comes to that cross. Oh, the Lord, he is opening that to him. And then we read that that burden that falls off from his shoulders. And we read it tumbles down that hill. Down into where? It tumbles into the sepulchre. Into the sepulchre. Whose sepulchre do you think that is, boys and girls? Oh, that is the sepulchre of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear what Bunyan attaches it to? He attaches justification to the resurrection of Christ. Why does Bunyan do that? It is not from him. Bunyan does not do that. The Apostle Paul does that. who was raised again, he said, for our justification. And thus, that burden that falls off, there is relief, there is joy, there is peace. Oh, he says, I have found rest by his sorrow. I have found life by his death. Assurance, oh, that is increased by the reflection upon every direct act of faith. It depends on those direct acts. If there are no direct acts of faith, there can be no reflection upon them. That woman with the issue of blood, could she tell you? Could she tell you what happened in her life? Oh, she could tell you just how urgent that her case was. It was a case of death and life. She could tell you just how low that she bowed, even to touch the hem of his garment. Oh, how she could tell you what that faith that did bring forth in her life, how that she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Oh, that woman afterwards, after the direct acts of faith which brought that healing, afterwards that woman, she can look back and she can tell what the Lord, he has done in her life. Oh, that Canaanitish woman, oh, she can tell you the place where the Lord brought her. Oh, he brought her to that place where she had to say, oh Lord, I am a dog. And she can tell you what she has received in that place. The leper, the Samaritan leper, the outsider leper. Oh, he can tell you what he was from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. And he can tell you how that the Lord, he has healed him. Congregation, the closer the life of God's children unto the Lord, the lower that the Lord is bringing them. And when the Lord brings that people ever lower, then there will be ever more acts of that blessed faith. And there will be ever more reflections. And there will be ever more an assurance. And yet, there are some acts of faith which are experienced with a greater clarity and a much greater intensity than others. A man does not forget when he has been, what his day was in the court. How was that for Jacob? Bethel, brother, was behind him. What was the case for Jacob at Bethel? Well, Jacob had tried so hard. He desired the blessing of the Lord with all his heart. Do you desire that too, boys and girls? Young people, you desired it too, like Jacob when he was young. He tried so hard. But he had to come to an end of those efforts. All those efforts had to fall away. And Jacob, he has to flee. Death is behind him. That's true. Death is behind him. And he ran away from it. And now what happens? Well, death is in front of him. He has to go back. He may not turn to the right hand or to the left hand. And those are two different things. For death to look us in the face, the Lord, he said to Jacob, return. And now Jacob, he cannot return. Why not? Esau is coming with 400 men. And now certainly Jacob has to die. And now the Lord comes. And the Lord says, what is your name? What is your name? He said, Jacob. Deceiver. Yes, it is all my fault that I have to die. I am the one that has angered my brother. Deceiver. All there. When Jacob, he cannot defend himself. All there when Jacob has to die. And Jacob, he cannot go to the right hand or to the left. His children, they are divided. The one company will be slain. Then the other company, they may escape. And then the Lord comes. And then the Lord appears to him. And the Lord, he appears also for him. He appears for him as a surety. As a surety. He may wrestle there with the Lord. And he may say of that moment, that I have seen him face to face. It was his own judge that he has seen face to face. And what happened there? Then Jacob was released by that judge because he himself testifies, and my life was preserved. The Lord gave him a new name, no more Jacob. Israel, God has prevailed. My life is preserved, and he can go forward without fear. It's not Esau coming. Esau's coming. Esau's coming. But the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. And so Jacob, he can go over this brook and to meet his enemy. You understand, there are special meetings of the Lord with his people. Meetings that have a special place in this matter of assurance, both directly and also indirectly. The resurrection of Christ, that was a turning point. Turning point in the life of the disciples concerning that assurance. You know what the Lord Jesus said to them? He said beforehand, he says, in that day of my resurrection, he says, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and I in you, and you in me. In that day, ye shall know it. O congregation, there is great reason why David, he said, Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. David could not save himself. David had so many enemies all around him. David's own sin testified against him. But do you know what he said later? Later he said it. He says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So that people, they may go forward. They may go forward in their life. And whatever that life may bring for them, without fear, until that trumpet is resounding, and they are called unto that great marriage supper of the Lamb, then to be united to him. Oh, to be united to him, not only by faith, not only with an assurance of faith, but in truth and in reality, in body and in soul, to be with him, never to be separated from his love, world without end. And they began to be merry. Amen. O Lord, of heaven and of earth, instruct us in these blessed truths, oh, that we may be given to desire this knowledge which gives comfort to our soul, which gives glory to thy name. Lead thy people, oh, give to use those means that thou dost give unto us, and to leave it all in thy hands, whether thou art pleased so to give us to experience and know that assurance for ourselves, oh, that we may be given to say, in all things thy will be done, but that slothfulness may not be the cause of why these things are not known. And wilt thou be with us in the rest of this day, oh, give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy, and give us to read thy word and what is based thereupon. Give profit from it undeservedly. Help us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world. And wilt thou supply for all those that are needy, and care for those that do travel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 55 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No one shall find me there. All the stanzas of Psalter 55. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.